Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thank you to the sponsor of the Grant and Danny radio program, the law firm, Kandori and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, they do it all. Their attorneys are there to protect you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. You can visit them at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to mention us when you do to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We'll look ahead to the Fiesta Bowl before we get out of here. And this is our final segment, taking you up to 6:30. Miami and Ole Miss tonight, a national semifinal. Winners on to the national championship game. The 12-2 Canes, who barely got in.
Yeah, good story all around in this one, by the way.
That's so true.
Miami, nobody wanted them in. They won both their games.
12-2.
Yep.
They get in over Notre Dame. People said, oh, you got to put the Irish in. Miami has won their way now to the semifinal. And in the case of Ole Miss, they're easy to root for as a six seed because at 13-1, they had their head coach turn his back on them. Lane Kiffin rolled out to go coach at LSU, left them for dead. They get a significant, surprising, and I would even say stunning win over Georgia. And while I don't know that they win tonight, they're underdogs again by 3.5 points. They're on the verge of playing for the national title.
It's incredible.
With an interim head coach.
And a lot of the staff not permitted because they're going with Kiffin, not allowed to remain and finish out the season and coach. There's all sorts of dramatics behind the scenes there in Ole Miss.
The staff part is particularly compelling in this game because their entire staff, other than Kiffin, to my knowledge, was intact for their win, preparing for and then executing the night of against Georgia. But basically only one of the several of assistants that are going to be with Lane Kiffin has stayed with the team through this game. And a bunch of them had to basically go report to start doing the work to get ready for LSU's offseason. So it's not just Kiffin, to your point, right now. It's a bunch of other guys that are out as well.
Which I think is just brutal. Again, the system is broken, if that's the case.
So broken.
Because I mean, I get it, by the way. You got a new job. We need you. The calendar starts now if you are the new program. But once in your life. One time in your life for all these kids, probably. One time in your life for most of the coaches, in all likelihood, to be in the position that they're in the national semifinal. It's criminal.
The big, unfortunate news for the Commanders today in-house, not as far as coaching possibilities, was the arrest of Marshon Lattimore last night, their cornerback. Lattimore, who had a disastrous season and a half with the team on the field that culminated with him tearing his ACL this season. I would say was already unlikely to be back. He counts $18.5 million against the cap this year. They can get out of that $18.5 million without a single a penny penalty. And it just seems to me like a no-brainer that they would do that.
$18.5 against the cap this year. If he comes back at his current deal, if he came back, it wouldn't be at that. They'd have to restructure or do something. But as you said, it is a dollar-for-dollar savings. It's not one of those, well, you could spread it out over 2 years and it wouldn't be that bad.
If you cut him, you just open up $19 million to spend on somebody else.
Zero. A zero-impact cut.
So based on how he played and how he covered or didn't, you know, the way that everything went so poorly, and then the injury he sustained, which is serious, and his age creeping up on 30 years old now, it just seems like such an easy decision, the ultimate no-brainer. You move on. You don't think twice about it. But now you got him getting arrested as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm team innocent until proven guilty. I'm not sitting here telling you he did something awful. I don't know the specifics or the deal. I know what he got arrested for, which was apparently having a concealed firearm that he wasn't supposed to have in a vehicle. To my knowledge, still, there have been no charges actually filed. So I'm not saying that they should release him based on what happened. I'm saying he was not in a position where you can also bring negative headlines to the team. This does not help him. And I was already moving on from him, and I'm definitely moving on from him now.
Yeah. Even if this is, again, as you already said.
He was doing charity work last night.
Right.
Instead of getting arrested, he's not coming back. But when now you tack on to bad performance and a serious injury to rehab and arrest,
you know, no thanks.
There's just nothing for me
here. The dramatics around it, right, are enough that if you're already sitting there on the cusp of being released, then, you know, kind of now's the time. Again, these are very serious charges. They should be taken seriously. That means I'm not casting any judgment. I have no idea. Let the facts play out. It's how we should operate all the time. And with that said, I was already cutting you anyway. Now I'm especially cutting you.
Who was it that did the Grant and Danny bingo board with a bunch of the axioms and things that we say on the show?
Our buddy Nate Elgin.
Was that Nate that did that?
Yeah, Nate the Great Elgin.
Very good. Nate Elgin needs to put into one of those spots, serious things should be taken seriously. What is your saying?
That's my axiom. Serious.
It's like, it's your get out of jail free card. Yep. Anytime anything is being discussed on the show where someone gets in trouble with the law, you kind of do that, and now you're able to just like not do anything.
This is the point.
Else.
Yeah, serious things should be taken seriously. That means if you're like, he's guilty. Nope, you don't know that. He's innocent. Nope, we don't know that. The information should play out. It's not what we do. We hear something and we immediately, quote-unquote, experts say, and everybody yells the loudest for whatever outcome that they believe this reflects. Oh, I don't do that.
We live in a world now where the allegation is as bad as the crime in so many ways.
Yeah.
Like, it does not matter what actually happened, and there are times where terrible things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Rashee Rice is back in the news. Yesterday, a woman alleged his former girlfriend, wife, I'm not really sure, I didn't dig too deep into it, but I saw there were images that she posted of some bruising and said that he had been abusive and all these terrible allegations. By the way, he seems like an absolute jackass of a human being. Just as a lifetime achievement award, dating back to, you know, his issues in college and then getting arrested this year and serving a suspension. And now these allegations come out. I don't know what I don't know. I saw people saying right away, the Chiefs need to release this guy. What the Chiefs need to do and what the NFL needs to do is find out what happened. That's what the Chiefs need to do.
Yep.
The Chiefs need to find out, are these allegations true? Did he actually do this? If he did, then release his ass. And no one else should sign him, by the way, because he can't get right. I don't care how good a football player he is. He seems like a terrible human being. If he did those things. But anymore, Danny, just the allegation is as life-ruining as doing the actual thing. Because, well, a lot of the time, if you want to say most of the time, plenty of the time, I don't know what the percentages are, the allegation is founded and true. There is a small percentage of the time where the big bad story that you hear is not actually what happened. And even if it's a very small percentage, that ruins people's lives.
Yeah.
What is the race to judgment about things you have no information on?
Totally. And my other axiom that I go with all the time, including serious things should be taken seriously.
You love saying it.
I say it, and I'll stick by it, and sorry it's boring. Nobody reads corrections. That's the other one.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
A good one.
Whatever's out there first.
I like that one better.
Yeah, whatever's out there. I'll use that one too. Whatever's out there first and loudest gets echoed very, very quickly. There was a story forever ago where this dude who lived in Bethesda was minding his business. He never heard of anybody. Never was doing. Just went to work, and then all of a sudden he's getting death threats and phone calls and harassment, and his place of business is graffitied. I forget all the specifics because somebody thought he was the dude that did something to somebody that was on video on like a bike trail. And he's like, that wasn't me. Didn't matter. Three people retweeted an ice update to the story that it wasn't this guy, Steve Smithers or whatever. It was somebody else.
Right.
Everybody retweeted the original story and probably ran into, oh, you're the dude who did that. For the rest of his life, just branded
right
as that guy, not him.
Maybe not quite the same thing. And I don't remember if this is the exact details, but it's something like this. Remember when there was like something happened and LeBron posted a picture of like a cop and it wasn't the right cop? You know what I'm talking about?
Not specifically, but that sounds...
Okay, let's just say that hypothetically
sure,
this happened.
Sure,
but
sure.
I think something like this happened. And then you just later delete it, and it's like, no.
That was a pretty big one you just had. Yeah.
There's tens of thousands of people that have been tormenting this
millions
person.
Of people have said... Like
you can't just put that toothpaste back in the tube. I think about Matt Araiza a lot.
Yeah.
The punter, speaking of the Chiefs, with Kansas City, who, you know, and I'm guilty of this, like we all thought did the most horrible,
accused
terrible,
of something so horrendous you wouldn't believe it.
The worst thing you can do, basically. Mm-hmm. And then after years and his career being completely derailed, we find out it's been proven that he actually wasn't even there to have committed this offense that people thought he was. And now he's just back punting. But like, there's no, all those columns, all those people that said all those things, we don't go one by one to make sure they all say whoopsie daisy. It's just maybe you find out that Matt Araiza is punting again and what you heard about him was wrong, or maybe you don't. So I guess what I'm trying to say is serious things should be taken seriously.
And nobody reads corrections.
And nobody reads corrections. Right. Have you ever said serious things should be taken seriously?
Yeah, and I'm going to say it again, too. It's going to come up, and I'm going to go, ooh, what does Danny think? And I will say it, and I will just, I'll just strut around here like Vince McMahon.
Lattimore in 21 had a similar arrest with, like, firearms in a car or something like that. And I, at that time, I think there was charges. There has not been in this. So we'll wait and see. And the team, by the way, did put out a statement. Said, we have been made aware of the arrest. We're gathering more information. We've informed the NFL league office and have no further comment at this time. I think that's about the statement they should have put out.
Sure. That the Andrew Brandt, you know, who's from this area, always says the translation, we're pissed. That's how he views those kind of statements.
Let's go to the phones. People want to hop in on the possibility of Mike McDaniel to the Commanders. Eddie is in Silver Spring. What's up, Eddie? How are you?
Good, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Happy New Year to you.
You too, buddy.
Hey, man, I think it'd be a home run, but because Dan Quinn can't call plays, but how long is that going to last? Are we going to be, you know, same thing, Cliff Kingsbury? Like we go to the playoffs next year, and suddenly he got a head coaching position, and he's gone. If it was me, I would fire Dan Quinn right now and hire Harbaugh and let him bring in guys and let's give him 3 years. He's, you know, used to having a mobile quarterback, and that's how I would do it. I haven't heard anyone take a deep dive in why do we have to win that last game, right? And why are we picking 8 right now?
You know? Well, picking 7 should have been 5 if they didn't win the last game. And if you haven't heard anyone do a deep dive on it, you weren't listening to our show the Monday after the game.
Congrats, everyone. You did it.
Go back and grab that podcast, because that was a shovel deep dive. I mean, we dug it into the earth.
My back hurts.
We scooped out some dirt and threw it over our shoulder, and then we kept doing it to the point where people were really, really upset about it. But it sounds like you would have been one of the people we were talking to.
You might have liked it.
So, yeah, I mean, look, no one should have thrown a game. No players should have not tried to win. No coaches or executives should have done anything to not give themselves the best chance from 1-4 on Sunday. What should have happened in that game is that either Josh Johnson shouldn't have played at all or should have only played a half, and then Sam Hartman should have played a half, and Terry McLaurin either shouldn't have played at all or should have played a limited amount, like a preseason game, because you're playing 2s and 3s from Philly. You should have been playing some of your 2s and 3s in that game to get valuable experience for guys like Jacoby Jones and some of the other practice squad players that don't get much of a shot. Deron Payne should have been wearing a visor on the sideline like it's August, clapping and high-fiving.
I need to see.
As Ricky Barber gets a TFL.
Tyler Owens. I need Kane Medrano. I need more Jordan McGee, a little bit less Bobby Wagner. Let Bobby Wagner get his 2,000 tackles. Get his tackles.
Didn't
I'm all for that.
Until the very end of the game.
I'm all in favor of that.
Took to the end of the game.
Let me find a way to put someone else on the field too. Right? Like, that's special. 2000 is cool. It's London Fletcher. It's Ray Lewis. And now it's Bobby Wagner. There was a way to play some of the younger guys, and they had no interest in it.
You know what I haven't thought about, just because that guy brought up the draft and pick 7? If you do go get Mike McDaniel, does it make you a little more interested in getting an offensive player in the top 10?
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1-50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Because you're bringing in, and maybe that's part of the courtship and the sweepstakes. You're talking about, like, back up the Brinks truck, do whatever it takes, sweeten the pot. What if he's going, you don't have enough weapons, and you go, we will use a top 10 pick on a weapon. We will get you a receiver. We'll take Love from Notre Dame, whatever it takes. Like, we will get you a superstar to build this thing around. If you bring in a guy like McDaniel, could you be more okay with passing on a defensive player when they so clearly should be taking a defensive player with that pick?
Fine with me.
I mean, not you. I mean, you went all offensive players.
Yeah, I got no issue with that.
But rhetorically, for the people out there that go, it needs to be an edge.
It should be, honestly.
Arvell Reese, give me David Downs. Bailey. You know, if it's Mike McDaniel, could you be okay going wide receiver Tyson, running back Love, something like that? And maybe, again, it's a way to say, don't go to Baltimore as the OC for Robert Saleh. Don't go to Detroit as the OC for Dan Campbell. And he's like, dude, I have to. And you're like, pick 7's yours. Do whatever you want with it.
You'll end up with Carnell Tate going deep. You want that?
Let's go to Paul in the district. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I'm of a mind. The word that comes to mind is Mike McDaniel is hired as our OC. It is tremendous upgrade because
yeah.
I was never a fan of Cliff Kingsbury's offense. Even when we went to the championship last year, I thought he didn't run the ball enough. He was not patient in that area. And I also believe that defensive coordinators were not impressed with his adjustments at halftime. I rarely seldom saw adjustments being done throughout the game when the defense adjusted to his offense. And it wasn't very imaginative. And for the gentleman that called before, it's not really a big difference between 5 and 7 because this team has so many holes. And it's just, as a fan of the Commanders, it's just a pleasure to push Philly down from their 2 seed and watch them have to suffer and play the San Francisco 49ers and get kicked out the first round of the playoffs. And then now I can stop half my family from coming at me talking about how long the Eagles were in the playoffs.
That's funny. I mean, look.
A, I hope that happens. But, B, they didn't really seem to care about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of fans that are excited about that. They played their third string. They weren't concerned. So they got what they wanted to. I happen to think they might get beat by San Francisco.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that.
They have a harder matchup than they would have had by doing the right thing, which is trying to beat Washington. But they didn't. They took their L, and they were happy to do so by playing a bunch of backups. I think that I don't care about that, really. I mean, in all honesty, like, my 5-year-old son's really happy about that because the Eagles are the big, bad green team. You know, like, I'm just a grown-up big boy with a mortgage and a couple, you know, a car to pay for and all that. So for me, what I care about is my team and my thing and winning a championship and giving myself the best chance to do so by running my team properly, properly and correctly. And I think the way to do that is you don't get many assets. So especially in a year where you don't have a lot of draft compensation, just like last year, I think you have to do the best job to do the most, to have the most value on draft day possible. You say the difference between 5 and 7 isn't substantial. Well, it's not as big of a deal as it might be if you didn't have a quarterback. But it's pretty damn substantial. I mean, the Jimmy Johnson draft chart would tell you that it's a 200-point difference. A 200-point difference is the equivalent of a mid-third-round pick. It's the equivalent of the, like, 78th overall pick in the draft. That's not nothing. So I'll disagree with you when you say the difference between 5 and 7 isn't huge. Doesn't mean you can't get a great player at 7. Doesn't mean it's the end of the world. I'm not telling you it is. But 5 is better than 7. This year, it'll be better than 7. Next year, it'll always be better than 7 in the NFL draft. The higher you pick, the better, the more talent, and the higher the chance statistically that you know, do really, really well in the draft. I think that's, you know, fairly common. Let's go to Dave in Lusby on Grant and Danny. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Dave, what was it about today that made you want to hear from Jim?
I want to say I believe it's going to be an A+. But the simple fact is, Gwynn talked about a brotherhood. Well, there is a brotherhood between him and McDaniel. That could make a change and a big difference. As well as, it's almost like if you're able to get him, it's going to turn into a 3 first-round picks. It's awesome. Let's go.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, buddy.
What's the 3 first-round picks thing?
I don't know if he was talking about trading Jaden Daniels. Is that what that meant?
No. He said if you're able to get McDaniel, it's like turning into 3 first-round picks.
That's what I didn't get. Like, the only way I could do that if I was to trade Jaden Daniels?
Not sure what he meant by that.
I didn't get that.
To go back to the previous call when he was talking about Kingsbury to McDaniel and the fact that it would be an upgrade, all of my gripes and frustrations with Kingsbury, which I talked about all year long, and for some of the last 2 years, go away with McDaniel. The way he operates is all of the stuff that I like and want. My annoyance with the decision to move on from Cliff is about the transition for Daniels, not knowing if he's the perfect fit or how that will work,
yeah.
Not knowing how seamless the transition will be, putting a lot more on his plate and a lot more pressure on him going into a massive third season. Also, sight unseen, didn't know it was going to be McDaniel. Still don't know that it will be. But in a world where they get McDaniel, it's a significant upgrade, and I'm way happier.
It's one of the few where it'd be a huge
upgrade.
There's
no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Like, I would just be over the moon excited. I would still be nervous because I've never seen Jaden run an offense.
Of course.
Like this.
I mean, for me,
I'm a seeing is believing guy.
It was, you know, moving on from Kingsbury is risky because most of the alternatives were worse. in my view. And that to me, I'm kind of going, God, you better be sure. Well, if they land on McDaniel, and I've already talked myself into it, by the way, I'll be crestfallen if it doesn't happen. But if they do that, hey, tip of the cap.
Bargoff, Gaithersburg, you're on the Fan. Mike McDaniel fired by the Dolphins today. A possibility for the Commanders all of a sudden.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, dude.
First off, flowers to for Grant for pounding the tape on Ben Johnson. The guy was right on that, and you got to give Grant flowers
that.
There. Yeah. My very smart football take is, definitely pro Mike McDaniel. Look, I'm done with the super handsome, you know, low vocal frequency, oozing with male privilege, Cliff Kingsbury. You know, give me a guy that just dreams about Excel spreadsheets. You know, looks like a 11th grade calculus teacher.
Give me the chemist.
You know, has like, yeah, the chemist. He's got Lord of the Rings posters up on his wall. Like that's the kind of guy I'm here for. So. Enough with the male privilege of Cliff, you know, in with the dorks.
Yeah, we would be going the dork route for sure. Like the coolest dork.
Give me that.
Just an absolute savant. Nerds are us.
Like I want him to be at a social gathering and go, oh, wait, yep, I just thought of a play. And like run to a napkin and write it down.
There is no bigger difference, I don't think, personality-wise, from like deep-voiced Cliff Kingsbury.
Old baritone Cliff.
Who put up numbies in college football, by the way, as a quarterback.
Yeah.
And then was drafted by the New England Patriots. Dad, you're looking at me like you didn't know that. You didn't know Cliff Kingsbury's college stats?
Numbies.
No, didn't know.
I mean, this is David Klingler, Andre Ware type stuff.
Hit me with it.
Okay. Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech threw for 5,000 yards and 45 touchdowns.
That's Big 12 football.
In 2002.
Big 12 football.
Was he Colt Brennan? What in the world?
358 yards per game for Cliff.
When the Big 12 was Big 12, and Darius, you're just a little fella. That's what they were doing.
3 years in a row, he led the country in passing yards and touchdowns.
And we fired that guy?
You sleep? Well, I mean, he's not playing quarterback for you.
Dude, if college numbies were your requisite for being the best OC in the sport.
Tommy Chang from Hawaii.
Yeah, he
is calling my plays.
Cliff would be on the podium.
Yeah, I mean, he put up ridiculous numbers. Who was he throwing to? Is there anybody who we would recognize? Torian Henderson.
Was Wes Welker there?
Wes Welker. 86 for 1,000. Yep, that's the only name here that's jumping out at me for one of these seasons. Cliffy to Wes Welker. Let's go.
But they were slinging it.
Let's go to Charlie in Glen Burnie on G&D. What's up, Charlie?
I'm in favor of Blau over McDaniel. I just don't want to lose out on another young mind that people see as a rising offensive coordinator. So that's just my opinion. Thank you, guys.
So wait, I don't hate that.
Make the case. You said Blau over McDaniel, but give me the kind of the elevator pitch again on that.
The reasoning is I don't want to lose out on another talented young offensive mind. I mean, look who walked
out. You don't like the burn in
the
hand, though? Or are you worried more that he's like a one-and-done head coach next year, whereas Blau you could keep for a couple?
Exactly.
Okay.
One-and-done. Give Blau some time.
Yeah.
And besides, I think Jaden would feel really good considering he thought that he got blindsided by the whole Cliff thing.
Exactly. So, that's the argument to
me, Charlie. It's a good opinion, by the way.
Really good call. If you are placating, it sounds negative, or like, you know.
Like, oh, they're nefarious, condescending,
right. Yeah. But if you are trying to smooth things over with Jaden, mm-hmm. who is not happy that you moved on from Cliff,
right.
You can stay in the building with David Blau. I think that works. I think that helps. You're also out of Cliff's offense, which is unique and unlike any other, which is the only one Jaden's known, to this new thing, whatever it's going to be. Blau smooths that transition easier mm-hmm. than just throwing McDaniel in there. And I do agree that you'd have Blau for at least 2, if not 3 years, because nobody's hiring him 2 years after he's a quarterback's coach.
But his point is we're all scarred from this. Half the league's coaches, Gnome's approximate, coached here at one point,
right.
And they all went somewhere else to thrive.
Here's a name the Commanders have requested permission to speak to as an OC candidate. Cowboys tight ends coach Lunda Wells. I'm assuming he's got a pass. Yeah, he was on staff with Dan Quinn for 3 years. Man, Dan Quinn likes talking to his guys, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Have you worked with Dan Quinn before? You got a shot. Wells, tight ends coach, Cowboys, add him to the list. One of the few people that have trickled out so far that they have asked to talk to about the OC opening. We're back at it at 2 tomorrow. We are going to be live on-site Friday field trip final time.
Pupatella, people. Experience the joy. Neapolitan pizza, delicious appies. We'll be in Chantilly at Pupatella Pizza tomorrow. We love those guys.
Right off Route 50.
It's right there.
Super convenient, super easy. Great place to come eat some pizza and hang with us. We've had a blast out there many times. 2 to 6:30 tomorrow, Pupitella Pizza Chantilly. Going to be a fun overtime tonight. Live in studio, we've got Nick Ashew and Britt Giroli. I see them getting ready in the bullpen.
They're hanging out. I love that.
Out there. So we will have a multifaceted, multi-person overtime in studio, which will be cool. For our producers, Darris, Ryan, Toby, G&D saying so long until tomorrow from Pupitella Chantilly at 2 o'clock.
Thank you for coming.
This update is brought to you by Melwood. Commanders News, they've requested permission to interview Cowboys tight ends coach Lunda Wells for their offensive coordinator position. Other coaching news, the Dolphins fired Mike McDaniel. The former Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury set to interview for the Titans and Ravens head coaching jobs. Buccaneers fired offensive coordinator Josh Grizzard and their special teams coordinator Thomas McGahee. Trent Williams is in doubt for their wild card matchup with the Eagles on Sunday. Davante Adams, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, all three of those receivers going to be good to go on Saturday. Tonight, college football playoff semifinal, Fiesta Bowl, Ole Miss and Miami. Tomorrow, the Peach Bowl will feature Indiana and Oregon. Support people with disabilities in your community by donating your unwanted vehicle to Melwood. Donating is fast, free, and easy. Visit Melwood.org or call 1-877-MELWOOD for more information. From the Crop Medcalf 5-Star Sports Desk, I'm Toby Altizer on The Fan.